Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Many times, fear tactics are used to provoke a response in the direction intended for us to go. They are used through news reports, marketing strategies for commercials, and even in conversations on social media. There are emotional fears that we won't be accepted, irrational fears of the what if something bad happens. We face fears in our health, in our relationships, in our finances, and fear can be overwhelming. So we invite you to join in the conversation to discover how fear fights faith.
Well, you know, Janie, the world that we live in today with all the violence, you know, we got school shootings, terrorist threats, you know, even the threats of disease, and it can even go to road rage.
Yes.
I mean, everything that we live with today, you and I have lived long enough that these things, a lot of these things are pretty new to us. And they can be pretty scary.
Well, they've always been with us worldwide, but America has reaped so many blessings of being a nation that was founded on the principles of the Bible, and our Constitution was written accordingly. So what we see now that kind of surprises us in the last 20 years, 30 or 40 years, has been going on worldwide. But the things that are happening here in even small town USA are a shock that it would come to our shores, which goes to show you there's something that we're lacking in our nation, is it? Because our nation has been the strongest nation in the world. And now I don't know that we are able to continue to hold that with the erosion that we have going on because of division.
Yeah. Well, not just division, but, you know, we find there's so much evil we see in everyday life that we didn't normally see. You see it on television. You see it in commercials. You see it when you step out your door, sometimes right in your own neighborhood. And so there's a million things that can grip us and take a hold of us in fear.
Yes.
It could be a financial situation for your home. It could be a relationship situation.
Well, your finances, your job, if fear of somebody rejecting you that once accepted you and you don't know why there was the change, the fear of being rejected, of not being accepted. There's so many emotional fears as well as physical fears, as well as financial fears. Fear surrounds us, doesn't it?
Yes, and we have to know how to overcome fear. And I noticed that on Christian radio, I hear a lot of fear songs these days. Fear's a liar, that not letting fear have a hold on me, you know, those kind of lyrics. And I was talking to my husband one day, and he said, well, look around you, Sharon. Everywhere there's fear. People are faced with fear. And so today, let's talk about how we can overcome these fears in prayer. Because what's happening to us is we're being gripped by fear, and we don't know how to overcome it.
No, and we're putting our focus there, you see. And so as soon as you put your focus on fear, you've had to take your eyes off of the solution of the fear, and then you start to feel the results of fear, which is anxiety, or maybe it's anger, or maybe it's even unforgiveness that somebody else caused you to get in this position of fear, and we don't know what the solutions are. All solutions can be found through prayer, because that's talking. And I don't want to sound commonplace, but that's talking with the author of peace when you pray. Right. And if he's got all of the solutions, then why do we go about seeking to understand fear? Do you realize how much time that this world spends on focusing on how to identify fear and then how to talk about fear? And then they come up with man's solutions on how to cure fear, but man doesn't have the cure. Okay.
I didn't realize that so much time was spent like that.
So you know, just stop and stop and think about a marriage. Your marriage is in trouble, which yours is not, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know something I don't know, Janie.
but if there's any marriage there that is having difficulties, then they usually want to understand the whys. And I'm not against understanding the whys and getting to the root. But just understanding the whys doesn't change the heart.
Right.
We need a heart change to be able to have a fear change and go from fear to faith.
Okay.
Let's just give one principle. And we've said this before over the years, but it does tell us many times that we need to repeat those things that are important.
Absolutely.
Okay. So think about a railroad track. Mm-hmm. Visualize that in your head. And there's the engine of fear and there's the engine of faith. But there's only one track. So that means one or the other has to be on track at a time. You can't be commingling fear and faith. Now, they both move in the same direction. But fear is the misuse of faith. Doctors tell us that the only fear that we are naturally born with is the fear of falling. Everything else is a learned fear. Now, we may learn that from our parents. They may have anxieties, and we just learn that to be the normal way you respond.
Okay.
I remember one family that had a hard time with their bills, and so they avoided telephone calls because they knew they'd be the creditors.
Uh-huh.
And so they instilled in their children the fear of communicating properly and being responsible for a deeper problem. Fear controlled that family. It then had devastating results later on in life. Why? Fear.
So we're not, probably what we're doing is jumping from engine to engine, huh? We get on the faith engine for a while, and then we jump back to the fear engine, and then we jump over to the faith engine. And then
that results in who's supposed to be on the track?
Yeah.
Okay. The conductor's thinking, wait a minute, I need at least a sidetrack to pull off on a while if somebody else is going to get on the track.
Yeah.
And when we pull off, we can call that a detour in life. We can call that getting stifled, or we get caught up in some pattern of defeat, and we start to accept it as the normal way of life. And the Lord said, I've got so many blessings that are already yours, but you won't take them.
We know what we should be doing. We just don't do it because we're so overcome with fear that we're not walking in that faith.
We're overwhelmed, or we don't want to take the path that takes us out of fear.
Why would we not want to be out of fear?
We get very comfortable in it, and we get very justified in it. Do you realize that if I have unforgiveness in my heart and I'm going to blame you for my problem, that basically has a root of fear in it?
Okay.
I feel that my fear says I'm justified in this and I'm comfortable in this way of thinking. And if I let go of my fear, I have to think differently, and I don't know how to think differently.
Okay.
I've talked to some people lately about how to just share Jesus Christ, and they say they don't because of fear. And I say, why do you not share Jesus Christ and be a witness? Because I don't believe I'm going to know what to say. Oh, why do you not know what to say? Because I don't know my Bible. They don't have his word hid in their heart that they might not sin against him or others.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't want to discipline themselves to hiding his word in their heart.
Right.
But fear's at the source.
Okay.
So I don't witness because I am afraid I will look bad or I'm afraid I won't have the answer. And that's dishonoring to our Heavenly Father. And that will keep us in a bondage. Fear. I tell you what, if you just want to put two words in your mind today, just put fear equals bondage. Fear equals slavery. Fear equals absence of faith. Fear is a nasty, nasty tool that Sharon was born in the Garden of Eden by Scripture.
How is that so, Janie?
Well, that's because the enemy misused Scripture to entice Adam and Eve, but primarily Eve, into thinking that God had not really had her best interest at hand, and that the enemy was so subtly saying, don't let that bother you. You can be what you want to be. And so subtly he was saying, don't be controlled by fear of what God says. I can show you how to have everything you want, respective of what God has told you. So does that shed any light on how easy it is? And remember, the Scripture says that Eve was deceived. Mm-hmm. And we ladies need to always remember that the Lord blessed us with probably a more of an abundance of emotion in our thinking. And we're more easily deceived because of that. Now, I'm not here to tell you when sin began and was there that capacity in the heart. We'll let the theologians deal with that. But we can see what resulted in the words of the Scripture and how they thought. Because what happened as soon as they ate the apple? They feared. Uh-huh. They had guilt and they went and hid themselves.
Right.
And the Lord in His mercy had to make them clothes. So I don't want to get off our subject today, but that's a good illustration to let us see that the whole world has been deceived. And there's only one thing that can bring us out of our deception that sounds so logical, so real, so right on. Our opinions, yes, that's the way we think, they're right on. There's only one thing that can bring us out of that, and that's truth. And there's only one who claims to be totally true. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the hope and the salvation. You can even go to some of your other religions, and they don't claim to even have been without sin. But even the leaders of other religions don't claim to be sin, have been able to pay the price of our sin and give us hope for eternal life. They just say they have a message that will give us what we want. But when you investigate the message, there's not truth in it. So that means their message always has some kind of fear. And that fear is you've got to perform a certain way or you're doomed. And we're the only ones that have that way to perform. But they're talking about a performance. Jesus Christ said, I'm sorry, lambs, you couldn't perform well enough to overcome what you have become because of your old sin nature in the garden. So I'm going to come and I'm going to pay the price and be the sinless advocate for you. And that's where the cross becomes so precious to us. But I have to say something today. We talk about the cross all the time, Sharon, and a lot of people may get offended at the cross because they don't understand that in that agony, in that blood awful death, there was still beauty being offered because that's the door to eternal life. Mm-hmm. So out of something so wretched, something so beautiful was born with the resurrection.
Right.
All right. So now the Lord lives. So the God of mercy and truth that did all that now has a current job. And Jesus Christ said, I am the intercessor. Now, Sharon, I pray for you all the time, but I can assure you that my prayers, unless they're going through the mediator between man and Christ Jesus, who is the Lord Jesus, my prayers would just be hot air. But if my prayers are going, and sometimes I don't know how to pray for you. I know how I want to. But there's times and there's days that I'll just say, Lord, you take my heart for Sharon, and I give it to you. And Holy Spirit, you know how to take my heart and pray the prayers that need to be prayed. Because the Bible says we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit lives to make intercession for us, and Jesus Christ is our mediator.
Right.
So I don't want us to get on a rabbit trail, but it all comes down to a person, doesn't it, Sharon?
Yes.
And He is the one that is going to be able to remove our fears. Now, don't get under guilt because you have fears, but pursue the peace, as it tells us in Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and pursue holiness, because without that, no one will see the Lord. So He's already said, I am peace that passes all understanding. It's within us. Now, how do we allow that to pursue the way He wants us to? And He gives us a really good explanation in the very next verse. He says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now, you and I have talked about falling short about the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It flows 24/7 to us.
Uh-huh.
But what can we do?
We dam it up with
cares and fears of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we do that, then there is a natural consequence. Now, we're overcoming our fear, right?
Yes.
And we're pursuing peace.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It says, now, if you don't want to do this, then you're going to dam up the grace that's flowing to you to make you able to do this. And your consequence is a root of bitterness springs up in your heart.
Okay.
Now, if you're bitter towards someone, don't you usually have a little fear about what they might do? I mean, what was it that caused you to get bitter in the first place? Wasn't it something that went against what you wanted, and you allowed fear to develop, and you didn't deal with the fear? And that could be in a marriage relationship.
Right.
You know, I told my husband when we had a Valentine's Day, and we don't ever celebrate the days on the day because of his work schedule, that I thanked him for helping me see my fears. I didn't appreciate it when he showed them to me. But I realized that the Lord used him as an agent to show me those fears, another person, so that I could choose to walk free. Okay?
Okay.
Now, here's the deal. If you do not deal with that fear and root of bitterness develops, it basically says that it defiles everybody around you.
So how do we deal with these fears, Janie? I mean, I realize that prayer is the answer, but are there certain kinds of prayers that we can pray based on our fears? How do we overcome those things?
Do you remember a word that we used for 2 or 3 weeks here? I don't remember, a month or so ago in our sharing, and that's the word discernment?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that gift of discernment has to be practiced. And can I give you an example from the Old Testament about how that can play out?
Okay.
Well, you know, there's a story, and this is a true story. This just isn't a fable or a parable. This is a true story of Nehemiah when he was sent back out of captivity to go back and reconstruct the walls in Jerusalem, because the people had been taken captivity into Babylon, and some of them had gone back to build the temple, but now the temple needed to have some protection. So Nehemiah is going to go back and build the walls. And while he's in that process, somebody really sounding like a good friend by the name of Sanballat sends him a letter through one of his servants saying, Nehemiah, we need to get together and have a talk, because there's this story going around that you've come back to make yourself king and override who the real king is. Sounds like a good friend trying to help you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nehemiah had the discernment, because he had lived a life according to what God had shown him And he didn't have all the 66 books back then, but right. God spoke to him. And so Nehemiah knew that this was not a friendly person that was making an appeal to him for something that appeared to be a good thing. So he was wanting Nehemiah to compromise. And so Nehemiah says, you know what? I believe your thoughts are coming from your own heart. You're trying to make me afraid by saying that we'll be weak in our work and our work won't get done if you and I don't have this talk. So right there, Nehemiah is doing a good thing. He's doing a godly thing, but he has a discernment to recognize when this man was wanting to destroy his peace by fear, by intimidation. And so Nehemiah just says, and I'm going to quote him from Nehemiah 6:13. He says, "For this reason, your servant, Geshem, was hired that I should be afraid and fearful and act the way and so sin that there might be a cause for an evil report," meaning there would be, hey, Nehemiah's not here for the right reason.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Okay.
And you stop and think, haven't your children gone through some conflicts at times when they have stood for a principle and been accused?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And, you know, and what's the result? Fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lose my friends. I won't be accepted. Nobody will want to be with me.
Right.
You see, fear is just where the enemy always goes, and he started it in the garden. And so fear was the goal of this attack with Nehemiah. All right?
Okay.
So we need to recognize that when we don't sense the peace of God in our life and that we're under the control of the Spirit, the first thing that's going to hit us is fear. And if we don't learn how to discern fear, it will go over into everything. All of a sudden, somebody at work said something and we get suspicious that they're trying to undermine our job position. Or the husband says something and you take it the wrong way because you're a little oversensitive and fearful of maybe what he's thinking. And fear enters in. Your children, when they get to be preteens and teens, pull back from you. And you think, where did I fail? Fear enters in. Oh, dear, I'm going to only have them a couple of years and they're going to be gone. And fear starts to grip you. What if they go off into the world and they go on a path called Fool's Hill? Well, let me tell you right now, as a mother that has raised many children, they're going to go off on the path of Fool's Hills. But you're going to be interceding. And there'll be boundaries by which the Lord will hold them because of your prayers. All right, so let's go from the bad fear of our rational emotions and our fear of circumstances to saying that it's not wrong to have fears.
It's not wrong to have fears.
But what do you do with your fears?
But what we do with our fears. We don't jump back and forth on our
railroad track.
We've got to learn how to move from fear to faith and keep that faith through prayer.
Yes, you aren't going to keep strong in faith if you don't know the Word of God.
And discernment, having discernment.
And that takes to be a student of the Word. That is, you're not going to learn to discern without practice, which means you've got to be in difficult situations to learn how to discern. And that we'll go into maybe next week.
Okay, Janie, would you like to close us in prayer?
I would love to, Sharon. That's always a privilege. Father, we thank you today for the conversation that Sharon and I have had and for the examples that you have given us in the Word and when we have irrational or renegade fears and when we have fear that is in awe of standing in your presence, of knowing who you are as Redeemer, Savior, King, Shepherd, all the different offices, Intercessor. And we praise you for giving us the examples by which we might follow and discern, Father, when we are hearing you right and then giving back those thoughts to you in prayer that you can then answer according to your divine purpose and eternal will. And Father, we just love you and praise you for all that you've given us, but mostly we thank you that you have given us your Son and all that it means and all that it stands for, and it's in His name that we ask this and thank you. Amen.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.